eastward from below Five Way to go through Brewer's Bridge and avoid Barakai altogether. At Westbells, the High Marshal and Phelan both stopped to wake Marshal Torrin and hand over Pox's gear. Seclus did not explain much, and Marshal Torrin, sleepy-eyed and bewildered, did not ask. Kiri touched that bright armor for the last time, as he thought, and prayed to all the gods that Pox might be spared the worst. The first glimmer of light seeped into the eastern sky as they rode away. Around him, the ponderous hooves of the heavy warhorses, 20 of them, shook the earth. Behind were the lighter mounts of the infantry and bowmen, and then the pack train. Kiri's mouth twitched, remembering Doran's sulphurous comments on the pack train. He would have minded more, except that their slowness gave Doran a better chance to catch up. He thought where Selfer would be. On the road he knew best, changing horses, gulping a hot mug of sib, and starting off again, faced with Crow Ridge to climb. As the day brightened, Kiri glanced around to see what his escort looked like in the daytime. 20 massive gray war horses, 20 plate-armored knights with spears and swords. Already the heavy horses were streaked with sweat. They were meant for power, not distance. 20 mounted infantry on gray horses much smaller than the war horses. These carried short swords, with shields slung to the saddles. 10 mounted bowmen on the same light horses, with a short, sharply curved bow of the northern nomad, to be used mounted or afoot, an excellent bow in the forest as well. All these were in rose and silver or gray, the royal colors of Saya. His own 10 squad, still in Fulani maroon and white, mounted on matched bays. How had Doran accomplished that, he wondered, with Vossick at their head? The king's squires from Leonia, whom he hardly knew, but for Garrus, they rode close around him, with a royal pennant of Leonia displayed. And the two marshals, High Marshal Seclus and Marshal Sulanarian, both in Gerd's blue and white, with a crescent of Gerd on chest and cloak. Behind came the pack train, servants, supplies, more than 40 beasts extra, which the Saiyan Royal Guard insisted on. Kiri looked around for the Royal Guard cohort commander. He had met the man the previous afternoon, before leaving the palace, but could not recognize him among the other knights. But the man caught his eye, reined his horse close, and bowed. "My lord, you wish to rest?" Kiri nearly laughed, but managed to hide it. "No, Sir Amelin, I am used to longer rides than this. I wanted to ask, though, what your usual order of march would be." Amelin frowned. "Well, it's rare that we travel far. We're the royal guard, after all, and we stay with the prince. We should breathe the horses soon, my lord, if they're to go far." "I suppose Leonia is far," said Kiri. It seemed to him that the pace had been but a crawl. A man could have walked the distance as fast. But he knew better than to push another man's command beyond its limits. Amerlin bowed in the saddle. "I thank you, my lord." He returned to the head of the column, spoke to the cohort bugler, and a quick signal rang out. Kiri tossed a hand signal at Vossick that halted his own 10 squad in their tracks, while the royal guard straggled to a halt. High Marshal Seclus grinned at him. "You did that on purpose. Marshal, my company doesn't know their signals." Seclus laughed. "My lord, your company could probably keep an even interval without any signals at all, couldn't it now?" "It might," said Kiri. Amerlin had come back on foot. "How long will we rest?" asked Kiri. "A quarter glass or so, my lord. I need to check on the pack animals and make sure everything is holding up well, and each rider checks his own animal." "Then I'll walk around a bit."